Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Well, the Huskers suffer their first loss of the season, and if you need to eat your feelings, there's no better way to do it than with a giant hunk of beef from Certified Piedmontese. Certified Piedmontese is premium Nebraska beef raised and grazed in the Nebraska Sandhills. And all Common Fan listeners know you can now get 25% off any beef purchased, any eligible beef purchased at cpbeef.com using the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN. You can also stop by your local Mercado Butcher Shop in Lincoln or Omaha, and they've got their fresh butcher, fresh steaks, fresh cuts, fresh everything, and also hot food ready to go right there at the Mercado Butcher Shops. Or, as always, you can go to cpbeef.com using promo code COMMONFAN. Get your Certified Piedmontese product shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Also, make sure to check out our brand new website, www.commonfan.co. We went to TS Web Services to build the site for us. Their team of experts provides top-notch solutions tailored to your needs. Whether you need web development or hosting, they've got you covered. We had a great experience working with their team. They were very responsive and delivered high-quality work. Check out TS Web Services to learn more. They can help you improve, redesign, or host your website. TS Web Services to learn more. Boys, Huskers lose in overtime. I must admit, once it got to overtime, I didn't have a very good feeling. Huskers lose 31.
Why is that?
It's the last decade worth of experience.
Yeah.
I have a thought, guys, right at the outset here. I have a thought. Okay, and we'll get into all this. We'll talk through the game and stuff. But there's a handful of like game-changing plays, right? There's the touchdown pass that Nayer caught and then had ripped out of his hands for an interception, touchdown for not. There were some bad calls on both sides, some really bad calls on both sides. To me, the most egregious one went against the Huskers, in my opinion. And for those of us who watched at home, love Tim Brando, friend of the program. I felt like the announcers got this one wrong. It was that fourth and one where they gave them the first down without even measuring. That was,
yeah.
That one to me was he didn't make it. The offensive line didn't even get to the line to gain. It didn't look like.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like the announcer's like, oh, it looks like he got it. And they didn't measure.
Was there not a flag there too that never got explained? I feel like there was a flag there.
There was a flag. There was a personal foul on us. And it was MJ Sherman. What looked like he was punching the guy on the ground.
He was trying to punch the ball.
Yep.
In any event, even if they call that though, it would have been after the fourth down play. So either way, it should have been our ball. Instead, they go down and score on that one. Mm-hmm. So there's that one. There, Dylan Riley had a phenomenal game. We're going to talk about him. Hard to criticize him for anything. But there's the missed touchdown pass with 3 minutes to go.
Huge.
Yeah.
Multiple bad calls. So I think the cliche thing, which is also true, is I think there's one or two more big ones that I'm missing right now. We'll talk about them. The cliche thing though is Huskers aren't good enough yet to survive. There's that handful of plays, right? That either they're going to go your way or they don't. And we're not good enough yet to survive not making those plays. And I think that's true, but I have a much bigger takeaway from last night. And I think it's that we need to reset our expectations on this season. And that doesn't mean that it's going to be a bad season. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't still have hope. That doesn't mean that the program's not moving in the right direction. I still believe all those things are true. I still think like we can make things interesting here. Like everything we want to accomplish is still out there. But we all like we lost because we didn't make those sort of plays on the periphery, on the bubble or whatever. But we all like, I didn't expect Luke Altmyer and company to look like Marcus Mariota era Oregon Ducks.
Yeah.
The defense got whipped last night.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, Illinois, credit to Illinois.
Looks good. They outscreened us. They called a great game. There were some runs, some of their runs, including the first play of overtime, the 20-yard run.
Yes.
There's nobody there.
No.
Yeah.
All of our linemen go one way, and suddenly the back comes the other way and has all day to run. And that's just, I mean, we've said many times in this podcast, we're not X's and O's guys, but it was quite clear they had answers for our defense all night long.
Yeah. I don't know if, like, it seemed like they had an exact idea of how to attack our defense after playing us last year.
Yes.
Like, they kind of knew what we were going to try to do, and it looked like we had no idea what they were going to do trying to move the ball. That's what it felt like. So that lethal combo of like offense knows what the black shirts are going to do, but our black shirts didn't know what the hell Illinois was going to do. So then you have tight ends running wide open on a play action bootleg in the end zone. It felt like that happened at least twice.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It felt like it was happening
maybe
all
more
night
than
long.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
So credit to Bert and his staff. They knew what to do.
One other thing I was going to ask you guys on that first drive where we've settled for a field goal, it was like first and goal, maybe, or second and goal. And we were at a restaurant and I was watching, but I couldn't hear the sound. So I don't know if they talked about it or not. Ramir was wide open and it didn't look like a particularly bad pass, but he was just out of bounds, but he kind of like scooched out of bounds. Was he forced out of bounds?
I didn't see.
I don't think he was
at the
not
game.
On the,
so
he just kind of like lost
the
his balance.
Thing I saw on the jumbo on screen the was, he was standing out of bounds and then kind of tipped, put his feet back in and caught it. And then it was like, and I couldn't tell if he caught it or not.
The announcers said the same thing. They're like, he just didn't know where he was at.
Yeah.
He's got to be better than that.
That's another one. That's brutal.
But that one, was that the one that was an 18 play drive?
Yeah,
that
it
we
was
set
a
and
long
settle
one,
for
dude.
A field goal.
Yeah.
I'm looking at some. Yeah. Our second offensive drive, 18 plays, 72 yards, 8 minutes, 39 seconds, and we settle for a field goal from the 3-yard line.
Yeah, that's rough.
It's first and goal. We run Dowdell for 2 yards. So it's second and goal from the 3. Incomplete pass, field goal.
Yeah, that's rough.
Run it on second down. Yeah. Maybe you get a yard and a half. Then you know what? You need a yard and a half on third down. To me, this one is like unexplainable. Like what? Rule said Satterfield called a great game. That to me, that's debatable. I know we'll probably get into this, but it was tough sledding running the ball. But you can't just abandon it. And especially when you're on the 3-yard line,
it felt like we abandoned it early. Like we had Dylan had negative 54 yards because of, I think, especially mainly those sacks in overtime.
Five sacks.
Multiple sacks. So separate that out. We ran for 102 yards. Like we didn't look good running the ball. In the offense, like, here's another observation I had. That felt way too much like a Riley and Frost era game for a lot of reasons. The obvious ones being the penalties, not closing out, shooting ourselves in the foot at the end, right? Mm-hmm. All those. But another reason it felt like that was because the defense couldn't get off the field on third down. The defense was just so-so. The offense, like Riley's and Frost offenses could show flashes. Like they had bursts. Mm-hmm. They had games where they were pretty good. But there were two or three really painfully short three and outs that we didn't need.
Yeah.
We didn't run, like we couldn't run the ball when we needed to run the ball. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of felt like Dylan's, we're going to be able to do a lot with him. And we have a lot of weapons. And so obviously I'm not saying I want us to be Iowa on offense or the Iowa of recent years. But it just felt like another one of those games with a big brained offensive coordinator, trying to go big
flex
break
his
on us.
muscles.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we just, I said it from day one, guys. The offensive line,
yes,
is not good enough.
Yeah.
No,
it wasn't good enough last. Like, people keep talking about, oh, they have the downhill run game now, or they're committed to the run now, or whatever. I don't see it. Again, we're not guys who chart plays or do X's and O's or whatever. Too much pressure on the quarterback, not running the ball well enough. It's reared its head from game one, and it's going to be an issue in Big Ten play.
100%.
Sorry, Jeff, I cut you off.
No, I was going to agree with you. I mean, just in, that's like when you were saying, like, to run the ball when they're down. I agree with you, but I just think they had no confidence in doing that. I think they thought that they were just going to get stuffed every time.
And that could
and
be.
They didn't have another choice.
You can't. I mean, I know Dylan is the guy. Dylan is
he's
complete dude. Before we started recording, I said to Jeff, like, what would the score of that game have been if we didn't have Dylan Raiola? My God, they would have killed us.
I made the comparison. I said, look at any team from years prior, and the way that Dylan can throw that ball and the places he can put him, even the ones that aren't complete, like the touchdown that didn't go our way, like 2 years ago, that wouldn't even be a play we could talk about because that ball wouldn't have even been put in that exact spot. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
He's so damn good that, like, I told my wife last time, I'm like, it's night and day as far as our offense goes, as far as what he can do versus what we've done in the past. But it just sucks that we have certain things still wrong with our offense that we just, I feel like we're failing him.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Although he can do it, you can't ask him to be our whole offense. We've got to be, do something to be more balanced.
Well, it was funny, Geoff, when you went on, you represented us very well on that Illinois podcast.
Now I look like a fool on there.
Yeah.
I was running my mouth.
You were great. You were great. keeping orange and blue. Those guys were very gracious too. They seemed like cool guys to talk to.
Yeah.
But they were legitimately concerned about Dowdell.
Yeah.
And they made the point that their defensive line was the weakness of their defense and that their secondary was the strength of their defense. And they kind of said both lines of scrimmage had kind of been their weak point. And
they haven't been able to run the ball.
And we did not win the line of scrimmage.
Roughed up, pushed us around.
So I just think, let's go through the game summary, but I just think let's step back a minute. I was a little bit, I've been more angry now that I've thought about it again this morning, but I was pretty zen by the time I went to bed last night. I had my hat throw and my couch punch, and, you know, I had to go out in the garage to get a beer and smack the fridge so that no one in my family could see me do that, you know?
Yes.
So I had all that last night. But then before going to bed, I was kind of zen, like the post Colorado hype was just overdone.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just because Kirk Herbstreit says we're going to be 7-0 going into Ohio State, or Joel Klatt says something similar, like, doesn't make it so. What did we say all off season? It started with just get to a bowl game. And then we got to, well, maybe they could be 8-4 or 9-3. No one was ever talking about this as a playoff team. Let's reset that here. Okay.
Sure.
And again, I don't think, like, Tony White has shown us enough that I think we can believe that they will bounce back. And, like, we can believe that this defense will shut down some teams, even some teams we don't expect them to shut down. So I think there's a lot of reasons still to hope, but I just think we need to reset. We're coming off 7 straight losing seasons. It's largely the same, you know, a lot of the same guys we had last year. It'd be really great to be 4-0 right now, 'cause I feel like Purdue's one of our more gettable games. But let's just not forget that. I think 8-4 is still very much in play. And I think if you had told us that in January or March or even May or June,
thrilled.
Again, dancing in the street.
Thrilled about that. Right.
Yeah.
So I think we just need to reset things a little bit. If we, like, go on a run here, if this is a turning point in a good way, we go on a run, great, let's embrace it. I'm not, no one on the Common Fan podcast is saying that's impossible here.
No, it has.
But
it,
I just think this, all the talk was a little overblown post Colorado.
Yeah. Oh,
it also makes
me
wonder how good or not good Colorado is.
It always is. And don't kid yourself. You know, a lot of the Husker fans, myself included, secretly deep down thought we were going to make a playoff run. I was telling myself that after the Colorado game.
I was telling myself it was possible for sure.
Yeah, for sure, possible. I just lost my train of thought. Damn it!
You'll take another sip of beer.
Take another afternoon beer sip.
Let's go through. Let's go through the game summary just to talk through, because I'm sure we forgot or missed some of the things. But I was thinking that field goal. Go ahead, Jeff.
I'll jump in here in a minute.
Okay. I was thinking that field goal drive was the first drive of the game. We actually got the ball to start the game and we got one first down and then had to punt. But it was kind of like, okay, Big Ten play. Here we go. You know, it's going to be a slobber knocker.
Yep.
And then Illinois had what looked like a way too easy 6-play, 78-yard touchdown drive.
Yeah. That guy was wide open, by the way. Wide open.
Freaking open.
Pat Bryant. Yeah.
Well, and Tommy, to me, I watched the first couple of drives for each team today, and Tommy Hill did not look right from the jump. Like, I don't know if he should have been out there. The way he got turned around on that first touchdown
was like, there was a play before that where
he was really slow on the receiver's break and got beat for a first down. I'm like, it just looks like he was not 100%.
Yeah.
So I appreciate somebody trying to gut it out, but like if you know, we can put Sayre, yeah. How do we say his name?
I'm not exactly sure.
Anyway, Wright played pretty well.
He looked good. He battled. He looked good.
He got a strip sack. Like, I think he'll be pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No. You wonder if he had an injury and then aggravated it more, because Rule said it didn't look good after the game, which is not good, obviously. Yeah. He said it looked significant. So 7-3 after our field goal, we talked about our field goal drive. So 7-3, and then was it Bullock on a completion forced a fumble?
Yep.
That guy's just a total beast. Again, Levante David once again. And then we go down and score a touchdown. That was the pass sort of in the back of the end zone to Isaiah Nair. And so then it's 10-7, and it kind of felt like, to be honest with you guys, I was thinking a lot about last year's game, I guess, but I thought we were going to ultimately control this game and run away with it. So when it was 10-7, it was kind of like, okay, we got that first scoring drive out of our system. Now we're just going to kind of take control from here. That was not to be. Illinois went down and kicked a field goal. They put together an 8-play, 62-yard drive. And, you know, this was another one, guys, where they had I think they had a penalty early on. I don't know. I think there were times when it felt like they kind of hurt themselves more than we were the ones doing the controlling or the stopping. Right.
Yeah.
So their field goal ties it up. Yeah, I will say, like, again, there's plenty of blame to go around. The offense looked really good. We had another 8-play drive. 36 yards. This was the one where this was the interception in the end zone. I'm pretty sure it was on a third and 10. Yeah. Third and 10. Yeah. And, you know, great throw from Raiola. It was actually a great catch by Nair. And I know people were, I think the interception was the right call, to be honest. I think there were many bad calls in that game. I think the interception was the right call. The only thing I thought was he caught it and had control of it and was across the plane.
Yeah.
So if that's the rule, then it's a touchdown. But I guess they were saying on TV, as he goes to bring it toward his body, then it's not, if the ball's moving, it's not considered controlled, and it has to be when you hit the ground. And if that's the case, then he got it ripped out of his hands and that's an interception. So if that's the rule, then it's and Mike Pereira said it was an interception. So you got to trust Mike Pereira.
And Mikey P. Mikey P knows his biz.
He knows his stuff. He knows his stuff. And then, so they got the ball. That was a touchback. They still went 50 yards. Again, this was another one where it felt like we avoided disaster. They went 50 yards. They went for it on 4th and 8. They went for it on 4th and 8 at the Nebraska 30, which really surprised me because they have two good field goal kickers. And we flushed Altmyer out of the pocket and made a stop. So that was huge. But again, it felt like we weren't really stopping them. They were stopping themselves. And then, guys, that touchdown drive by us to end the first half was incredible.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was yelling at the TV, like, why are they not taking timeouts? What's going on? And then you had the Dylan back shoulder throw to Jamal Banks on third down. And then you had a play or two later, finding Nair in the corner of the end zone, and Nair with the great toe-dragging grab.
Flag.
That whole thing was incredible. And that was like, this is the guy we've been missing.
Yeah, that's the type of play calling that like you just didn't see in years prior. Like that looked like
it wasn't possible in years prior.
Right. That looked but like that, a top 10 team type of offense. There, it was awesome.
After that drive and going to the half up 17-10, I thought, okay,
confidence.
We've played with our meat long enough. Now it's time to dive in and eat dinner. And
exactly,
we're coming out of then we came out of half, and Illinois goes 37 yards, 9 plays, but we force a punt.
Yep. We exchange punts out of halftime.
And then we went 3 and out.
Exactly.
That was the time. If we could have taken a 10-point lead, a 2-touchdown lead right there, it was like that could have been ball game.
Instead, they go down and score. You are spot on there, Matty O. And that's the one, even if we don't get points, let's hold the ball, let's flip the field. Something to where you eat into that third quarter clock. We still have a lead. That's the one that's just really frustrating. And then you're exactly right. So we exchange punts, then they go down and score 17-17. And then we go right back and score. I kind of thought that was late. Oh yeah, that's right. That was late third and early fourth. That really nifty play where it was kind of almost like a shovel pass or like a pitch pass forward to Janiara and Bonner right at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And so that was like they had just scored. Then we score a touchdown to go up 24-17. Then Illinois goes back down and scores a touchdown to make it 24-24. And I was kind of like, I'm not sure we want to try to make it a shootout in the fourth quarter.
No.
Maybe both defenses are wearing down. But go ahead.
Jump in here.
Yeah.
You could feel the air absolutely sucked out of that stadium when Illinois tied it at 24. Yeah. Like it was so quiet, and it kind of felt like the whole stadium was like, it's tied in the fourth quarter again. Oh my God, what's going to happen here? And it was like, you could just feel it. We still haven't gotten over that, like embracing the moment thing. It's the players, the coaches. I mean, they like Rhule said last year, this is only their second year here, but you could feel it in the stadium. I'm sure a lot of the players have been here for 3 or 4 years, kind of felt it. Like it's not good. We've still got a lot of mental gymnastics that we've got to start doing here to get over whatever like psyche issues we have as a football program.
And then it was also like they scored to tie it. And then we had that disaster of a drive. Remember that where Raiola was sacked once and then like he, on the next one, he fumbled it and Gotula recovered it. And then it was like third and 19 or the ESPN thing here is a little confusing. I don't think they have it right, but it was basically like he was sacked once, then he fumbled on third and 19. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of like, we're not ready to respond to this scoring drive. Tie game. We give it back right away. And guys, two plays in, say you're right, forces that fumble. Mm-hmm. We get the ball back. And it was like, here we go.
Yeah,
that's the year two play. Mm-hmm. We're gonna go down, and then we started like we. I thought we had a good chance to score there, but we started milking a clock. We took off. We ran a 10-play drive. Took off over 5 minutes, and there were only at the end of that drive. There's only 3 minutes left in the game, so it set up perfectly. And I honestly thought we might try to run this thing all the way down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Illinois Burt had 2 timeouts left, but I sort of thought we might be able to run it all the way down. And I think Rhule said, so that's the one, sorry, let's talk about what happened. That's the one where on third and three, Raiola missed a wide open. Who's 44?
Luke Lindenmeyer.
Lindenmeyer. Wide open guy in the end zone. Somebody made
it was a great play call. I mean, he had two tight ends open. He went for the deeper one.
Right. And somebody made the point on Twitter that if that's Carter Nelson or Fedoni, they probably get to that ball. That's an interesting thought. But also Rhule said after the game, the idea was to get it to the guy underneath. Like, I don't think they were going for the kill shot there.
Well,
they were going for just to get the first down.
Also, if it's Fedoni or Nelson in there, they might be looking for pass more than they are if it's Luke Lindenmeyer and Borkatry.
Right. Right.
So but that, I think, that's I part think, of the play call too, I think.
I think the idea was more like it was great recognition by Dylan. Obviously, you take the touchdown there if you can get it. But based on what Rule said, I think the idea was just to get the first down and keep running the clock and keep getting, you know, keep getting into field goal position, basically. But so then I want to ask you guys, because this is another point. So then we miss a field goal, 39-yard field goal. I want to talk about special teams in a minute.
And that was the one thing that I said on that Illinois podcast, the number one thing I was scared of is if this game was close.
Yes.
And it proved me right again. It was close, and look what happens.
So there's been a lot of social media discussion. Do you put the ball in your five-star quarterback's hands on 4th-and-3 there instead of trying to kick a 39-yard field goal with your backup kicker?
Oh, how long was it? 38, 39 yards?
39
what
yards.
Was it? 39 yards?
Yeah.
The kid's on a Division I Big Ten football team and has a spot on special teams as a kicker. He should be able to make that kick. I don't have a problem with him sending him out there. Now, I understand the argument, but if we go for it on 4th-and-3 and we don't get it, they're probably saying,
everybody's melting. Everybody's melting down. Yeah, that's
it. The points.
Everyone's saying what you just said, which is, you know, this is a Big Ten team. You should have somebody who can make a 39-yard field goal. That's exactly right.
Now, we haven't. We haven't had those guys.
Somebody on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, basically said, how'd they say it? They're like, nobody believed that we have anybody on that sideline capable of making a 39-yard field goal in that moment. And that is how it felt. I don't think, like, I wouldn't have felt any better with Tristan Alvano going out there.
Yeah. There's a sense of dread once we sent that unit onto the field.
So, I it's so frustrating, and there's so much to praise this coaching staff about, and they've done a lot right. And you look at the flipping the roster on offense, and they didn't stand pat in many different ways, but it drives me absolutely nuts. Again, Alvano's a Nebraska kid. We are absolutely pulling for him to figure it out at some point, but he hasn't done it consistently in games at the college level.
Right.
Absolutely drives me nuts. Dear friend of the program, Nicholas Ryan, called me last night. Called me on his, he's driving home back to Omaha after the game. Called me at outside of Waverly, and we talked his entire way back to Omaha. And he was like, you know, we needed big-bodied wide receivers. We went and got those. Certainly, you know, isn't there a kicker out there we could have found enough NIL money for who could make a 40-yard field goal?
There's a kid on our roster who's apparently dinged up who kicked 5 field goals in the Class A state championship football game here, and we were all excited about him coming in. He had a big leg. He could kick 50-yarders. I don't know what's going on with Alvano. I think he is a little injured, but there's also he's got some kind of yips or some mental stuff going on too, I think, because I think he's got the talent.
Yep.
And for the record, my opinion on the special teams, it's the field goal kicking only, because the punt team's been good. Our coverage units have been good.
There were a couple
good
breaks in coverage last night. Didn't they ever bring one back to like the 40? I felt
they did.
We saved one.
Jimmy
one
Horn had a
Oh, yeah, and Buscini had like almost a touchdown-saving tackle on one of his punts.
You're right.
One of the kicks. I know, I think somebody told us at some point they sometimes intend not to kick it out of the end zone.
That's what I've been told. Right? Like what I've been told about Rule is they're his staff. I don't know if it's Ed Foley or Rule or who, but they prefer to have a return. Like they want to kick it like to like the 2 or 3 yard line, so the guy tries to bring it out.
Right.
And I don't know the reasoning behind that. I'm sure they've got a reason with analytics and all that stuff, but. I mean,
I guess I could put it this way. To your point, Matteo, I'll put it this way. If we had a field goal kicker who was making kicks, we'd probably say the special teams overall had improved and was passable.
Yep.
I still think the coverage needs some work, and sometimes it looks there's huge, you know, huge holes or whatever. But the you are right. Buscini looks great. He's punting the ball great. The coverage has been, I mean, we haven't given up. We've given up some
really
big returns.
Kickoff return has been leaky. Kick coverage on kickoffs has been leaky. Because I feel like punts, we haven't really.
No, except
given
for last
any
night.
Punt return.
Boom Sheeny had to. Come
That's
in
true.
And, you know, make
that. Was that a punt or a kick? Because he did some kickoffs.
Pretty sure it was a punt. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so
it's all a damn blur.
It is, and it's just, I think it's so frustrating for Husker fans to see the penalties pop up too. The penalties and the special teams, which are part of what have killed us forever, continue to hurt us.
But can we not grab a face mask? For the love of God, dude. I felt like that was the call all night, every night, every play. It seemed like it was a face mask.
Every time they called that and they called, and before they showed the replay, I was like, I'll bet this is some weak ticky-tack call. Nope. Our guy was like trying to rip the helmet off. And there was one they didn't call. They didn't call it on Jamari Butler on a fourth down play where we got the ball back.
Maybe one of it was like a makeup call or something like
they,
that.
See, they don't show any, like when we have those face masks or anything, those of us in the stadium, no idea what happened because they don't show a replay of
they're only showing the replays on the bad calls.
And then the crowd is so loud and booing that limp dick referee who'd come out there couldn't even like I couldn't even hear his explanation of any of these flags or anything.
Let me jump in there, Matt, because if you couldn't hear him, what was up with that too? Like they wouldn't just say like face mask, they would describe it. It'd be a grabbing and twisting of the
right. I heard that one, but most of the times he would say what the penalty was, the crowd was booing so loudly. So I'll give the Husker fans credit. Like it was loud enough that I couldn't hear what the heck the ref was saying.
Yeah.
And then nobody could hear him. So then they're just booing. They think they got hosed. And it's like so.
Yeah. So finishing the game summary, we missed the field goal. I was worried we would lose the game in regulation at that point, because of recent history. So props to the Huskers for like, we held our breath. We held on. We didn't. And the other thing I kept thinking of was they have two different guys who have hit 58, 59 yard field goals. So like they didn't, they went 31 yards. They only needed maybe 5 or 10 more yards to get in the field goal range, but we made a stop on fourth down. We forced a punt and then we just took the knee and went to overtime. And then we fell apart. If we hadn't fallen apart yet, at least we were fighting up to that point. It was mistake filled.
That was
fighting. That was
the worst. The worst overtime performance I think I've ever seen.
That's a great way to say it.
And that's saying something for Nebraska football because
that friends is saying something.
What is it? Five total yards in the last 8 overtimes or something like that. Five yards.
Yeah.
Total over 8 overtime games.
We won the toss,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying to myself, okay, let's come up with 3 stops, at least force a field goal, and then we get in the end zone and get out of here with the W. First play, the defensive line appeared to be nowhere in sight. They get down to the 5. The guy looked like he was going to score.
Yeah.
And then they do what felt like their 15th play action pass for a touchdown of the night. And I think what was so frustrating about those was guys were so wide open every time.
Mm-hmm.
We were lost on this.
Yeah.
And then we just didn't, I don't know. Nobody was open and they were blitzing and we didn't like, yeah, I don't,
really, Dylan I got sacked like the whole time. Dude.
Dylan got, we ended up behind the 50 yard line or something. Oh, I mean, it was just, it was what
that was happening. The most like, that was a microcosm of Nebraska football the last several years.
Yeah.
That those 3-4 plays we snapped the ball in overtime.
Yes.
False start, sack and a grounding, sack.
Yep. And let's one thing we have to say, there was the completion to Banks. Absolutely missed. Yeah. Absolutely terrible no call by the official.
Yeah.
The way
they said it. Yes. They said it on TV. God. He got hit, pushed out of bounds, plays over. Significant couple of seconds probably, then he gets drilled. Total miss by the officials. But I just have a hard time. I'm so frustrated at how the Huskers played. I have a hard time saying, oh, we got screwed, we got hosed, we would have won the game. Does anybody feel like we would have punched it in there and suddenly been like, back
there
in the
no
game?
No evidence to suggest that we would have done any better had we gotten another fresh set of downs.
Right.
No.
Yeah, the loss was in getting to overtime in the first place.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now I kind of wonder if we either score that touchdown on the miss to Lindenmeyer or kick the field goal, it's like probably 70-30 Illinois goes down and does whatever they need to tie the game, whether that's a field goal or the way they were moving the ball all night. I think. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know.
Who knows?
But yeah.
So
barf.
Yeah, I don't even know that we have any hit the high points, guys. Like, I mean,
the high points are Dylan Raiola. That's it.
And Banks and Nair.
Banks and Nair. And Jacory Barnum.
Yeah.
And our one of the favorites of this program.
I know what you're
going to say. Thomas Fedone had a couple of big catches. Can we try to get him the ball a few more times a game?
Yeah, it felt like they made a more of a concerted effort to get him the ball. He is a beast. He looked great. Yes, I love. It was great to see Fedone involved.
Yeah,
and we do. We've said it already. Dylan is special.
Yeah,
we need to make sure that we do not screw up the next few years with this generational quarterback. We have to do whatever we can to bounce back from this loss this season. And there's still plenty in front of us. Let's be clear on that. And then we have to do whatever we need to do in the offseason to, like, we can make a run with this guy with the right pieces around him. And
yeah.
We need to
not screw that's why, like, part of me, like, I don't like seeing Corcoran go down. It sounds like he's probably out for the season the way Rule talked about it. Yep. Yep. So Gunnar Gotula coming in, younger guy.
I think it's Gotula. Isn't it Gotula?
Is it?
Gotula.
Matthew Jr. says it's, what did I say? Gotula. He says it's Gotula.
Okay.
And his dad's the Southeast coach, I think. I don't know. Anyway, start getting some of the younger guys some reps if we can on the O-line, because we're losing Ben Hart. Corcoran's going to be gone. Ben Scott's going to be gone. As Kua's older, like,
yeah,
there might be some growing pains with the O-line, but after the way they played last night, and Mezuka, whatever, he's got to figure whatever he's got going on out.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but we need him back. Yeah, we need him back.
Like, he's a fighter. He's a brawler. I think he's a road grader in the run game. I mean, just look at, you know, the early on. I know Colorado's kind of soft, but early on, we got that guy in at guard. Dowdell just absolutely steamrolling people up the middle.
Yep.
And it didn't seem like we could get a whole lot going up the middle last night. Now, credit to Illinois. They played really well. But if that's something that they've been struggling with and we couldn't move them, that's an issue. So I think Uncle Donnie has some work to do with the Hog Mollies up front. They've got to figure something out to get them. Because, guys, five sacks, and like you said it, take away the sacks, maybe 102 yards rushing. It's not going to cut it in the Big Ten, man.
No.
You can't give up five sacks, especially if, okay, we can't run it. Now we got to throw. Well, then you definitely can't give up sacks.
Yeah.
Like, you're already behind the sticks if you're not being able to run the ball. And we're asking Dylan to convert way too many third and longs. I know he can do it.
Right. And he can do it. And you feel more confident than ever that he can do it, but you'd rather not have to.
But that's 50-50 or at best 60-40 probably to convert every single third and 11 that you get. It's probably not even that good.
No,
with a blue chip five-star stud quarterback who's probably going to win two Heismans over the next 3 years, you can't keep putting him in a position like that. Even like you put Tom Brady in positions like that and you're not going to do well.
No, exactly. And we have talked about this throughout the year where we've said, and maybe we'll stub our toe or maybe there'll be true freshman growing pains. Like, he's been so good. Again, maybe that misses on him with 3 minutes to go in the game. Yeah,
he would drop that one. There were a couple misses where he just dropped the damn ball twice in one series.
He's been so dang good.
Yeah,
and it's hard to really want to criticize him for anything.
We can't. No, I don't know where. I mean, we probably lose by three scores if we don't have Joe Royal last night. That's how bad everybody else played and how badly we were out schemed.
Yep. So, guys, looking ahead, so we kind of, I feel like we've.
We've touched on it in this game. Let's flush it, man.
We did the game summary, and as we did it, I think we talked about most of the questions or concerns that we have, which is normally another segment we do on these shows. So since we have a little time, I wanted to, sticking with the theme, like, Illinois feels like a step back. It feels like the Huskers took a step back last night. Like, everyone... Yeah. There were some concerns about Northern Iowa, but we only gave up 3 points. We won by 31 points. We took care of business. They're probably a little bit of a letdown after Colorado. Instead of being reassured against Illinois that we've bounced back, it felt like we went backwards last
year. Yeah, it's more question marks.
Again, no one's writing anything off here. We still have a ton to play for. And I want to talk through the remainder of the schedule with you guys and see. I think last night, Matty, I could see.
Before we get into that, I want to make a point.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about the elephant in the room that the real reason for that loss was.
Don't you dare.
It's Geoff shaving his mustache.
No, it's not on me. Yeah, no, it is not.
You wanted to take all the credit for the mustache, and that's what how we beat Colorado, and we told you couldn't shave it.
And you did. You just didn't have to bring it up.
Why would you tempt fate like that?
What are you talking about? All right. Listen to me, okay? I said we had to make our sacrifice. I shaved it into a mustache to get us that W, okay? I did that. But, you know, I have to preserve my marriage as well, too. So what's more important to you guys?
Your wife's
marriage,
a Husker fan.
Your marriage couldn't have survived the mustache through November?
It's a touchy subject, TJ. It looks like
you're growing
up. It's not my fault.
You just never should have brought it up and tried to take credit in the first place, because now you get
the blame. I will take credit for it. Now you get the blame.
Let's do the rest of the schedule now. But also, I want to let's end on a high point. In addition to corn cobs, Matty O, since you were in the house, let's talk about the 400 consecutive sellout at the end. So let's remember to do that. Okay, Huskers are 3-1. Definitely a step back against Illinois. We're probably going to fall out of the top 25 now.
Yeah.
Next week we are at Purdue. 12 noon kickoff, 9 a.m. on the West Coast.
A little sleepy.
Whatever. I feel like Rule's going to get after these guys this week. I also think this is one of the weakest teams, if not the weakest team left on their schedule. I think we get a bounce back W at Purdue. What do you guys think?
I think it's a get right game.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're
66 on those clowns. We'll do just fine.
Oh God. I think, in my opinion, great time to go on the road for these guys. Four straight home games.
Yeah.
You know, get out of here, get out of Lincoln, get out of the friendly confines, go play somewhere else, which you guys as the enemy.
Yeah,
that can be a bonding experience for a team, especially with a lot of young guys. I am ecstatic for them to go on the road, because it's been these four we love having four home games to start out, right?
Yeah.
But it's a grind. It's a lot. Like, I was complaining about it to my wife this morning. She kind of gave me a look like, you know how ridiculous you sound. I'm like, what?
You go to all these games, Matt. Yeah.
It's a lot of work for everybody. It is. Yeah. And you know, it's like, even, and you know, I'll get into more when we talk about the atmosphere anyway.
Yeah.
It's a get right game. Let's go to Purdue and take care of business.
All right, so let's say we're 4-1 coming out of Purdue. Our next two games are Rutgers at home and at Indiana. I think going into the season, a lot of teams had both of these as wins. I'm curious. I will say right now, I'm not trying to be a downer. I still believe we can win both of these games. I'll be surprised if we win them both.
Yeah.
I think we probably split these games. What do you guys think?
I could see that. I could see it. I think we'll beat Rutgers, and if we're going to lose either one of those, I think it could be Indiana on the road, and they might be undefeated and ranked. Judging by what they've got. Maryland, I think Maryland at home next week, and then at Northwestern, and then they have a bye the week before they play us.
You're talking about Indiana. Yeah.
We both have two games and then a bye, and then we play Indiana. That's turning out to be a lot bigger game than any of us anticipated, especially you, General, with referring to Indiana coach Kurt Cignetti as Mo Green.
He's still Mo Green. Talking loud, saying stupid things. I knew Mo.
I do remember
he was headstrong.
I remember you saying that too. You were offended that they were even attempting to field a team.
Yes.
I did say that too. Okay. I shouldn't have said it.
I think they have a clip of that when they go into their locker room, it's on the loop.
I'm like, look at this.
This guy? Jackass. This guy from this Nebraska podcast. He's trying to get under your skin.
Rutgers is at Virginia Tech today. I think that one will be interesting. And then they're home against Washington on, I think, a Friday night game before they come to Lincoln. So I think we'll learn more about Rutgers in the next two games. Right now, not that any of this stuff matters, but the ESPN, whatever, gives us a 60-some% chance to win. Or is it closer to 70%? Where was that? I just had that in front of me. Yeah, us a 69, and the matchup predictor, according to ESPN analytics, gives us a 69.5% chance to win.
Oh,
I mean, ever since Shiano's been there, that's not been an easy game for us. They're well coached. They're physical. I picked it as in our first predictions episode at the beginning of the year, I picked it as a loss for us, our only loss before Ohio State. So now I hope I'm wrong. I want to learn more about those guys. I think we can win that game at home. Indiana, like the way we looked on defense last night, that Indiana offense, which has looked really
troubling,
good, really nervous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Sorry,
but Matty, but in a world of matchups, where you know our defense would match up really well against one team and maybe not the other team, you just never really know. I was just gonna say we'll know a lot more about Rutgers over the next 2 weeks.
I just said that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I didn't think you were listening. No, it's okay. It's okay.
I was doing research.
They're at Virginia Tech, home against Washington.
Yes, you did say that.
I don't care if we drop the rest of our games up until we get to the Buckeyes. We're still beating them. It doesn't matter.
Well, I was going to ask, Jeff. Okay, so let's just say for prediction's sake, we're 5-2 going into Ohio State. I hope we're 6-1. I hope we're bowl eligible by the time. Obviously, I'm hoping to God that we don't lose another game before Ohio State. I think we're going to lose to Ohio State. Jeff, you disagree?
I disagree. We're still going to win that game. I'm not coming off of it because I want to take all the credit again if we win. And if we lose, I don't want any of the pushback either. Okay?
I think the victory for us in that game will be if we keep it within 3 touchdowns, honestly.
All right. So let's say it's a worst case scenario. Like, hopefully, worst case scenario, we're 5-3 after Ohio State, maybe 6-2. I think UCLA could be worse than Purdue. I think UCLA and Purdue are the two that I have as like, 100%. If I had to bet my house on a game or two, those would be the two ones that I think are definitely going to be wins. So hopefully, worst case, we're bowl eligible after UCLA. We're bowl eligible in November, and we're 6-3. And maybe if we can beat Purdue, Rutgers, and Indiana, we're 7-2 after UCLA. And then everyone's feeling really good again. I think everyone will be feeling really good at 6-3 too. And then we end the year at USC, home against Wisconsin, at Iowa. You talk about me being wrong. USC is another one I was wrong about. They were 8-5 last year. I didn't think they were very good. If you watched them play last year, they could not tackle.
Yes.
They were terrible.
That is correct.
They didn't have a defense.
They look much better this year. They looked, although LSU may be not nearly as good as people thought or may have issues under Brian Kelly, but they looked really good.
Oh, they have issues.
LSU.
They have issues with that guy. He's a moron.
So I don't know. I mean, if I had to pick another one, I think is more likely than not to lose, it's USC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Don't they play Michigan today, don't they?
Yeah. We'll know more about USC after today, too. I mean, they beat LSU, who at the time seemed like a big win. And we're kind of like, oh, LSU's all right. Right. Yeah. Like, is that kind of our assessment now? And then they beat the crap out of Utah State. So they've only played 2 games.
Yeah,
now
so that'll be interesting.
Now Michigan they go to Michigan. Down, but how do USC's they look at a road favorite, 4.5-point road favorite. We'll see.
So let's say after that USC game, imagine this, guys. We're either 7-3 going into the last 2 games of the year against Wisconsin and Iowa, or 6-4 going into the last 2 games against Wisconsin. I think that's really compelling either way.
Mm-hmm.
If we're 7-3, then we're still playing really meaningful games in November.
Sure.
If we're 6-4, obviously, 7-3, we could maybe be on the periphery of the playoff conversation, just if we want to keep that hope alive, even though we just threw cold water on all that today. But 6-4, and I think it's really compelling to think we could end the year 6-6, which I think would be a disappointment, or we could end the year 8-4. And to get there, we have to beat our two biggest rivals, two biggest challenges, two teams that we have sort of the most painful history with.
Yeah.
We joined the Big Ten and was got Wisconsin at home and at Iowa. So I think that's really interesting and really compelling. And again, let me just set one thing aside really quick. There's still a scenario here. Let's not give up on a scenario where we win the next 3, lose to Ohio State, and then beat UCLA and USC. And we are.
There we go. Now, we're going with this now.
10-2.
We're doing it.
Hey.
We're 8-2.
It's happening.
We're not giving up on that. I want to be clear. We're not giving up on that.
As usual, we'll hear all this stuff in the press conferences this week. We'll hear about the week of practice. Yeah. And by Friday, we'll have convinced ourselves that that's what's going to happen. We're going to finish 10-2.
Exactly. Yep.
With the only loss to Ohio State.
We're not giving up on that.
No.
I just think with what I saw last night, it doesn't seem like the most likely scenario.
Sure.
So here's what I think, guys. I think we beat Wisconsin at home.
Yeah.
They look lost. Now,
Someone
could say after last night, the Nebraska looks lost, maybe. I don't watch them close enough to know for sure. But – boy, I've been surprised. And their starting quarterback is out for the year with an injury.
Oh, that's
so
right.
That is, this is a really good opportunity for us to finally beat Wisconsin for the first time since 2012. Yeah. So I picked that one as a win. And then I don't know what to think about Iowa, guys. I'm not going to pick it as a loss. I'm not going to pick it as a loss.
No, of course not.
I never will. So then we finished, 8-4, 9-3, 10-2. I don't know.
Hey, but, you know what? It's all good. I mean, it's fun to talk about these and go, here's what I see. I see 8-4 as a possibility, 9-3, all that. We got to, going back to what I said, I can't remember, it was one of the last two podcasts. Let's go, what about Bob on this thing? And Dr. Leo Marvin. Yep. And let's take baby steps. It's on to Purdue. Just beat Purdue.
No, that's right.
Beat Purdue. Go on a little road trip with the guys, some buddies, some bonding time. Throw on some tunes. Get your head right. Go out there and crack some Purdue skulls. Try to get Ryan Walters fired, and and heal some wounds, and come back ready to go against Rutgers the next week. We have to win next weekend. I'm not calling it a must win because it's the fifth game of the season,
it's as close to a must win as you could have at this point in the season. Like, they really need it. Yes, that's a good point.
I got to give you props, Owens. I mean, the way that you've spun a road game into a positive thing for the team is amazing to me, by the way. Hey, this is incredible.
Incredible. Those things.
Look, if we were going into the horseshoe, I don't think I'd feel the same way. But what you're saying makes a lot of sense. We're not a very good opponent. Let's get out. Like, I mean, Memorial Stadium's been amazing. Yeah. But let's get on the road. Like you said, we got our chip on the shoulder. We're the enemy territory, so to speak.
Yeah.
I like the way you're
framing. Go out to West Las
Vegas. It's impressive. I'm not going to lie to you. Daddy's good.
Some fall foliage going on in West Lafayette, and you're gonna get annoyed by that train whistle thing that they blow, and you're gonna do everything that you can not hear the train whistle.
Damn, he's good.
It's gonna be great.
What just happened? You guys,
it's a day game. We're ready for a day game. Like, we had four night games in a row. Let's wake up. I don't want to wait all day. Let's kick the sucker off and get going.
Yeah, morning game on the road. I can't believe you've sold me, Matt. Good for you. You've sold me.
Hey, I've changed a lot in the last 15 years or so. I don't mind an 11 a.m. kick. Yeah. Let's get out of bed, have some breakfast, and turn on the TV. And, what do you know? It's kickoffs in 45 minutes.
Eggs and eggs, like Coach Rule said.
Sounds delicious.
Day drinking.
All right, so we got us down. We got us down for 10-2. Is that what we said?
10-2. We're all good. 10-2. 10-2.
Maybe one more loss. No, one more loss. Top
11-1. We're beating Ohio State. What the hell are you talking about?
That's right. Okay. Good. Real quick before we do Corn Cops, Matty-O, the environment once again looked amazing. Pretty cool. 400 sellout. 400 consecutive sellout celebration.
It was. It was amazing. Again, I feel like, being the fourth night home game in a row, there were a couple times where it kind of felt like Husker Nation was running on fumes a little bit in that stadium.
Sure.
Especially, Matt, like Matty Jr. was saying, he thought the crowd could have been louder there and later in the game. And I said, buddy, when they're up, standing up, screaming their heads off, and the other team keeps converting third downs, it's hard to keep going.
Yes.
It's hard to keep going when your D can't get off the field. The crowd was great. Some of the 400 sellout stuff was cool. They had East Stadium had some cards. It was like a pre-planned thing. The announcer came on and said, okay, hold up your cards now.
Yeah, they showed that on TV.
Flipped them around. That was cool. The whole, going into the fourth quarter light show was cool again.
They've really found something there. I mean, that seems
that's a thing. And again, it's like, okay, this is the fourth one in a row. And it's like, okay, here we go again. It's like, it's still so cool. But I think having won 4 weeks in a row, it loses a little bit of its luster. No, don't shoot at the messenger here. That's just my opinion. It was super, super cool. But I feel like when you've done it every week and this is the fourth week, okay.
So you don't think Memorial Stadium is special anymore?
That's what I'm hearing.
No, I think they should turn it into a parking lot pretty much. No, I mean, the best place I've ever seen a college football game. I've been to Camp Randall. I've been to Iowa's called?
Kinnick.
I've been to Kinnick. I mean, they're fine.
I'm just kidding.
It was great. It was a great atmosphere. People felt a little bit angry. I don't know if they had, a lot of people had a bad day at work. since it was a Friday game.
That's
weird
I'm
energy
surprised
in
that nobody
North
tried
Stadium.
To spin that too about it being a Friday game and that's why we lost. How has nobody spun it that direction?
We have plenty of other things to blame it on, Jeff.
Yeah, we should never play on anything other than Saturdays, in my opinion.
Yeah, the Friday night. I mean, yeah, Tim Brando was all like he was hyping up what a great game it was, and it was, and was hyping up the Friday night thing. And it's nice. It's kind of nice to have a Friday game on TV. But when it's us, I agree with you. Like it just it feels a little bit off.
Yeah. It felt
indeed. Okay
from the get go.
Corn Cobs, who do you got? Geoff, you go first.
Just because of how terribly things went on all sides of the ball for us, the only bright shining light was Dylan, so I have to give it to him.
Okay, fine. I was going to do that, but whatever. Go ahead, Mattio.
I'm going to go Johnny Bullock.
Oh wow.
I had the stats in front of me. Now they're gone. 9 tackles. Forced fumble. The guy's flying all over the field and making plays, and I feel like he's one of the defenders we know we can count on to be there.
Yeah,
honorable mention to Sierra Wright. I thought he played really well coming in to fill in for Tommy Hill.
Nice. Yeah, a friend of the program, associate producer Dr. Weber, texted again about John Bullock being Levante David. So
okay,
right,
the new Levante. You
know, that's interesting. I thought we would be all offense this time because of how the defense looked. Bullock and Wright made some huge plays last night, so well-deserved. So I'll give two. I'll give her one and one on a bench or whatever. But I thought we would go Raiola, Banks, and Nair.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'll shout out Banks and Nair. They both looked incredible. Both made huge plays. It's their difference makers out there. You know, this you talk about, you know, the reason this offense looks different. It's Dylan's at the center of it, but Banks, Nair, Ja'Cory Barney, all the weapons they have are factoring in. But last night in particular, Nair had, did he have three? He had two touchdowns for sure that I can think of. Did he have three? Yeah, he had two.
The one that got called a touchdown and then reversed.
Oh, that's right. That's
interception.
Right.
That would
that's
have
right.
been.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jabal made some huge catches out there as well. And so I guess I'll say, guys, just wrap in conclusion. I do think if anybody's earned the benefit of the doubt, it's Tony White and that defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that the offense is trending way up and looking really dang good, and the fact that it's the defense that you're saying, what's going on there?
Yeah, that's
you'd rather not be saying that about either side of the ball, but If you had to put your thumb on the scale for one of them that could figure it out in season quickly, I think it'd be the D. And so,
we'll see
what happens. We'll see what they say this week. But I think, you know, we got to give a little bit of it. Like we're 4 games in. This was a step back. It was hugely disappointing, but we got a lot of season to play left. We got a lot to play for still.
Did we do a hypothetical or was I having this conversation with somebody else? If you could pick one or the other to lose to Colorado or Illinois, which would you pick?
That's interesting. I feel like didn't Evan ask us that? Maybe
he might have.
Yeah. Anyway, or maybe we talked about it off air. It's hard to remember. We've been recording a lot of episodes lately. That's an interesting question. I always say I'd rather lose to the team that's not in our conference.
Yeah.
I'd always rather have the conference win. Sure. However, I don't know. That Colorado.
Yeah, that's tough, isn't it?
Pretty thoroughly satisfying.
In hindsight.
Yeah.
But if you told us at the end of last season, you're going to start the next 4 games at home, you're going to be 3-1 after the 4th game.
Yeah.
We're probably okay with that.
That's right.
For sure. Yeah.
That's right. Again,
put it in perspective.
Yeah. Oh, one other thing I thought of, guys, real quick. When we talked to Mitch the first time, we asked him about the defense. And one point that he made was he thought the defense could be good or even better this year, but he pointed out how bad the offenses were that we played last year.
Yeah. And I said that to Manny Jr.
That is maybe part of the equation as well.
Yeah.
And like, let's look at Illinois. That offense was bad, at least when we played them. They were going through some stuff when we played them because they did win 3 out of their next 4 after we played them.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of interesting too, not to take anything away from, you know, what they accomplished last year, but you know, like the other team practices too. They recruit good athletes too. You know, I mean, sometimes we got out coached, we got out schemed. You go back to the drawing board, you know, you got to do it better next time. You know?
Yep. So.
All right. Any final thoughts, Matt or Geoff?
Jeff. No, I mean, the Irish need to pick up a win today, so I'm looking forward to that. But we move on to next week. All right.
That's all for now.
Looks like we're fresh out of time.
No one cares.
Flush this turd. Literally, move on.
Move on. On to Purdue. Let's go on a road trip with the boys. Road tripping. Yep.
Let's go.
Salesman.
Hey, two games. Grind through these next two. Then we got a week off.
That's right.
Which is a great time for a bye.
Absolutely.
And then the real push happens. That going to Indiana and all the rest of them. Let's take care of business. Let's get right.
Win the next two. Get to 5-1. We'll feel way better about ourselves.
Baby steps.
We're going to the playoff. I can't believe this.
Road trip. Beat Purdue. 1-0 this week. 1-0 this week.
All right, stay tuned. Another View from the Bland Stands with Omaha World Herald reporter Evan Bland will be coming out Wednesday morning. We'll get some additional thoughts on the Illinois game from Evan and also look ahead to Purdue. And in the meantime, don't forget to check out our website, www.commonfan.co. Don't forget to go to cpbeef.com and use the promo code COMMONFAN and get 25% off. And don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube. All the things. Common fans, thanks for hanging with us. As always, brighter days ahead, Husker Nation. Yep. Let's go 1-0 this week. And until then, as always, GBR for life.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.